they're not really selling them on what the deal is as far as how it works. They're selling them on what we understand as being educated and alumni. So we've had really good traction with staying within our own as far as the capital raise.
Welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab. We're your host, Dave Lindahl, dissects recent multifamily deals done by his guests. Dave will extract what went right, what went wrong, and a number of key takeaways so your next deal may be more profitable.
All right, welcome everybody to another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. And on today's Multifamily Deal Lab, we are with Jerry Kong and Anthony Vinoli, and they did a deal, a lakeside property, 20 doors, 1964 vintage with boat slips. So this is going to be a really interesting deal. But the first thing I want to do is I want you guys to introduce yourselves and tell everybody who you are and where you're from.
My name is Anthony Vinoli. I'm originally from San Diego, California. My past life, I was a director of operations and very beneficial in this industry that we're a part of now.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Jerry.
I'm Jerry here in Southern California, in Orange County. I have a background in economics, finance, and business. So I'm the analyst underwriter on this group. We started with this in 2019. This is our second deal. We're pretty excited about it.
How did you guys meet?
Jerry and I used to work together in the company I was with. So the short of it is, while I ran 7 factories nationwide, I would feed the data to Jerry and he would extrapolate it down to constituents, components, dwell time, load times, all that stuff. And we didn't have a sophisticated software. Jerry was doing it with Excel sheets. So I realized I didn't know Excel sheets like I thought I did, and just how impressive Jerry is.
And then you said, Jerry, let's get the hell out of here and do something that's going to make us some real money.
Jerry had left and started flipping residential in Orange County. And during that time, I always knew I wanted to be involved with multifamily because as a little kid, my friends whose dad would come to school in a Porsche Turbo, right? They were commercial real estate. So I had approached Jerry and Jerry was all in.
All right. So Jerry, why don't you tell us about this particular deal? It is located in Lincoln City, Oregon. How did you get a deal up in Lincoln City?
So other partner who's not on this podcast, he lives in Seattle. He's been pitching us about the entire state of Oregon, how it's got some beneficial values. And we started looking originally in Portland. And then depends on the market where we get, the search kind of got broader and broader. And we got to Lincoln City, which is about 2 hours outside of Portland. And saw the properties on the lake, back close enough to the ocean with the boat slip near a boat launch. It's like, this is an awesome vacation place. And the local market is good. I mean, out of COVID, the economy is coming back. There's an offer to see where we get.
Okay, so the broker sourced you the deal? Said, come take a look at this?
Yeah, so we got pitched on a few deals around Portland. And then one day it's like, hey, I know this is not near Portland, but would you guys be willing to take a look at this?
Okay, nice. And I see it as a purchase price of just over $3 million. What was the asking price?
3.25.
3.25. And how did you get the $200,000 off? What was your tactic?
The tactic was, just be honest, sometimes like you guys are about $275 below market. And based on what we need to do to the property, this is kind of the number we see fit. And I think we started negotiation at about 2.9. We finished at 3. It was like 3 even. And then after due diligence, wanted to do some retrade. The seller didn't want to do it. Went back and forth. And then we kind of gave him like less than 1%. It's like just trying to give the seller something at the end. It's like, all right, here, take the win. So that's how the $25,000 extra comes in.
Oh, so the $25,000 was keeping the deal from being signed?
Like that was going back. I was like, you know, just give it to them. That's how they wanted some form of a, like a negotiating win on their side.
Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely. Yeah, sometimes it's all about psychology. A lot of times it's all about psychology. So let me ask you, Jerry, what was it about this property that you, I know it was lakeside, I know it was beautiful, like nice vacation area. So what didn't you like?
Besides the nice view? So we like that it is backed by Oregon economy. It's a destination place, but it's not a destination for everybody to fly in and go there. Yeah. But it's a destination to all the local economy. So as long as the state of Oregon is doing well, that place will do well. It's and not like a beach in Florida where it's more dependent on.
What about flooding?
Flooding is actually fine. It's on a pretty steep hill.
Yeah.
Pitched down to the lake. So that everything kind of run right down into the lake. So that's been fine. The last time that area ever had a serious issue with high tide from the ocean was Japanese earthquake. And before that, there's really nothing there.
All right. So let's talk about the capital raise on this is more than 50% of the purchase price. So why was that, Jerry?
The best loan we can get was a 60% LTV.
And why was that?
As location. As considered tertiary, within even the state of Oregon. So we couldn't get anything to come in. That was a bank loan.
Yeah.
Try to get an agency loan. They came in at 51%, and that was just a non-starter.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What loan to value did you do your original underwriting at?
65.
Oh, you did it at 65, so you got 60. So it wasn't that much of a difference.
Yeah.
I thought you might have done it at 70, and I was going to ask you, what was the difference in your returns from the 60 to 70? But okay, so the capital raise. Anthony, you want to take that? How did you do your raise?
So the raise, we go amongst our own friends, just like anyone else does first. And part of that is Jerry and I have a track record of just who we are in general with our character. So as we would post about our prior wins, the one we have in Chattanooga, the one that we were a part of in a minority stake with Vanessa Alfaro and Outlaw Group and Vicksburg, Mississippi, it starts presenting people's opportunity to want to ask us questions because they're seeing that we're a part of something. So that was part of our raise. Also is going throughout our own community, right? RE Mentor is not just an education platform. We're also a fraternity. So it gives us an opportunity to go within our own people who already understand what it's about. You're not really selling them on what the deal is as far as how it works. You're selling them on what we understand as being educated and alumni. So we've had really good traction with staying within our own as far as the capital raise. And we go outside of that too. We have some people go to mastermind classes and stuff and link with people there also. We brought people on board that can raise as well too.
Excellent. Was this a deal that was recently signed at Ultimate Partnering?
Yep. Yeah, that was us.
Oh, awesome. All right. So just so that people know, at the last Ultimate Partnering event that we had in Phoenix, you guys are at the bar buying this deal.
Yeah. And Eric Stewart is our sponsor. He made time to leave his vending booth to come down and make sure we got everything executed. And it was about 2 hours and we had our notary on site and one of our other partners was there as well. So it worked out really well that we were all in the same room.
I only need to know one thing. What drink did you order after you signed?
Man, I don't remember.
That was a lot of drinking.
There was a lot of drinks. For me, it was probably an old fashioned. I think Jerry had a Long Island, and then Eric Stewart, I bought him a Bud Light, I think.
Nice. Yeah, I remember I actually walked by when that was all laid out and somebody pointed over and said, hey, they're closing the deal. I was like, wow. And I was late to get on stage. I was like, wow, that's awesome. So we went to the raise. Now let's talk about the value add here, the value play. You bought this for $3 million. What are you going to do to it? And what's it going to be worth?
Minor renovation is not a super heavy lift. Everything is classic on the interior. Some of those units didn't even have dishwashers. So they just put a dishwasher on the end of the countertop.
Yeah.
Obviously go in, brand new countertop, run it all the way through, make everything look continuous. Brand new paint, get rid of the carpet, vinyl planks, flooring, just some basic new hardware. Nothing too crazy.
So you said everything was classic, but you're basically changing the flooring, adding some dishwashers?
Yeah, that's the market. Nobody there have like super fancy, brand new white shaker, those kind of things. So we didn't feel the need to go to that route to be like top of the market but or have the best view in the market. So
and you're going to be able to raise the rent $175 just by doing those minimal repairs?
About, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good. So this must have been under market. Why do you think it was an under market, the rents were under market? And then you bought it at what, 98% occupancy?
By the time we closed, it was 100% occupied.
Oh, sweet. So we know what that means. Raise those rents, right? So yeah. So you started the raise process?
We're getting there. Our first renewal is March 31st.
People can get perspective. Right now we're in November. They closed this last month at our event. And you're saying that the first renewal is March. That seems so far away. Does everything renew on March? Or why is there such a big gap between November and March?
There was a huge mass renewal in August done by the seller to push for the pricing that they were asking for. Oh. So they just renewed everybody and we're going to have to spread that out from August, probably in about 4 months within the calendar year.
Yeah. So explain to everybody what you're going to do to diversify your risk in August when you're renewing those leases.
So we have about 13 out of 20 doors that got renewed in August. Wow. And we're not renewing everybody in August. That's too much of a possible vacancy when that comes to. So
well, we'll probably... That you renew them in August is the term that you're going to give them.
We haven't got there yet. So we're either renew everybody in August with different terms or we let it run to month and then renew them in September, October, November for a whole year after that.
That's an interesting strategy as well. But when you're renewing, you're raising rents by $175, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So you want to renew in August. You know what? You really don't want to drag that out. So well, I've had experience doing deals like this, and we typically we'll go 11. So you get 13. You want to spread them out. So you probably spread them out in the next August, September, October, November. Just make those 13, 14, 15 month lease renewals at the higher rate. And they typically, and it's typically not an issue, but if it is for the ones that are farther out, they're renewing for more than a year, then just give them something. You know, you look around the apartment and say, all right, well, you can choose an accent wall, maybe dishwasher or whatever. Give them something of perceived value, $400 to $500, perceived value, and usually works.
That's a great metric to use. That makes total sense.
Yeah. Okay. So what else can you tell me about this deal? What were the challenges of this deal?
The beginning challenges were people to feel comfortable in Oregon, right? Because everybody wants to be in Georgia and Texas and the Carolinas. And so our partner, who we met on a prior deal in Chattanooga, and again, we're all RE people. So the people who had found that deal was a class member of Jerry and I during our boot camp and immersion. And then through that, made our other connection with the other partner in Seattle. So when he was being in his own backyard, like you're supposed to be, right? That's what spawned that area.
Just a harder pitch because everybody is focused on the hot markets, and our mentor does pitch emerging markets of where people go. So this is, you know, in the opposite side of the country. So that was a tough hurdle just to get through. The deal return is pretty decent. Just by being on the West Coast, it's a low cash flow, high cap rate place. So it's more back end heavy. It's also a hurdle we have to, you know, get people through. It's like you just have to come in and ride this out with us, getting, it's like 6% cash on cash is what we're giving people.
What about the due diligence process and the property inspection? So during the property inspection, did anything weird appear?
It's actually really well maintained for the age of the property. We did get warned that the roof, the seller did replace a third of the roof.
Yeah.
So we did get a warning about the other two thirds, and we put that in our budget. Termite damage, it's an issue with the property being so close to the lake, close to the ocean. That's all the trim pieces need to be repaired.
Yeah.
Things like that.
But no surprises, no cat lady, no hoarder.
No cat lady, no hoarder, no, but lots of cats. Everybody has a pet, cats and dogs.
All right. So for those of you who have questions, put them in the chat and then we're going to answer those next. But I would call lightning round. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. The first thing that pops into your mind is just shout it out. Okay. So number one, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Vanilla.
What's the best book you've recently read?
10 Path, actually. That's very enlightening.
That's awesome. Yeah. And inspirational as well. So we said 10 Paths is the book, the new book from Ari Mentor that follows the paths of 10 clients. Say a word in Spanish.
Almost asked.
What's your favorite number?
13.
Have you ever worn socks with sandals?
Yes.
What's the best inspirational movie you've watched in the last 5 years?
Rugby Team.
Oh, Invictus?
With Matt Damon. Yeah, Matt Damon and Morgan Freeman.
All right, that was an excellent one. I didn't write these questions. Why can't we tickle ourselves?
I guess you see it coming.
That's a good answer. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 37.
What do you think the best age is?
In general?
Yeah.
45.
Why? Since you're not 45 yet.
You're still active enough, but then you collect enough wisdom in your life. Oh. And then you still got time to cash in on that wisdom.
Okay, excellent. Do you believe in the laws of the universe?
Yes.
Which one do you think is the most effective? They actually all work together, but...
It's like gravity.
All right, excellent. One last question. Why did they put an expiration date on sour cream?
That, I have no idea.
All right, awesome.
I guess it tells you when to give it to your cat.
That's right. So this version of Deal Lab, see us again next week. We will have another deal. All right, take care, everybody.
This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, so you don't miss the next session, and review the contact links on this page.